Hello, everyone. This is Becky. And today I'm so excited. We have a guest with us. Her name is Mary Margaret Roy from Augusta, Georgia. Welcome, Mary Margaret. We're glad you're here.
Thank you so much, Becky. I'm so happy to be here. I really appreciate the invitation.
Yeah. So, as well as being a very good friend that I met through our Vineyard connections, I know you're a wife and a mom, a V-Kids pastor. Can you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. Yeah, I've been on staff here at the church for 16 years. I've been on staff full-time for about 5 years, and I am the kids pastor and the outreach pastor. And it's a fun time all the time, sort of all the time.
Always have something to do.
Always, yes. And my husband happens to be the lead pastor, so we do work together, and that is a lot of fun. We're actually going to speak together this coming Sunday. We do have three daughters. They are 24, 18, and 17. So one that's graduated college and out in the workforce, and one who's a freshman in college, and one who's a junior in high school. So even though I'm 110 years old, we are still in the thick of it.
Yeah.
Before they were born, I was an English teacher, and I guess I always consider myself a teacher. And that it was just an easy transition to go from teaching high school kids to just working with children of all ages here at my job at the Vineyard.
Well, and English teachers are always teaching us. That is for sure.
Whether that we want to be taught or not.
Exactly. The world needs you. Well, we've been doing, so this winter, we've been doing a series on the podcast called An Invitation to Wellness. And it seems a good time of year to kind of take stock. And we begin the year often looking at life and any changes you want to make, as well as, the weather's a little bit yuckier, we're in more. So it just seems like you're focused maybe on living well. And so today we're going to continue that topic, specifically wanting to look at keeping wellness in our faith. Like raising kids, in the world, but maybe not of the world, as we've heard it said. We live, it's just so different from what I would say years ago when I was raised as a young child, and it seemed like there was a general society kind of had the same values. Most families I went to school with and my friends, we had similar moral beliefs and things. And in general, I mean, we've just seen a lot of changes in culture. And even I would say the last few years, it's been accelerated. And it is post-Christian, I don't know if that's the word we want to use, but that similar kind of understanding of morals, beliefs, acceptance of the Christian faith, even if you might not have it, seems to be changing. And so I thought it'd be a good topic to explore. How do we keep faith healthy in ourselves and in our kids in a world that does not maybe walk by faith, and sometimes that might even be hostile.
Yeah, it is definitely, I completely agree with you. It's definitely different than when we were growing up. It was more the cultural norm there's a certain code of behavior. Everybody went to church. You didn't swear. I mean, all those kinds of outward things. But I can't help but wonder, what was kind of brewing underneath, and did we all just kind of keep it tamped down? And now we're dealing with, what is all this, and how do we keep our kids safe, and how do we point them to Christ?
Well, and that's a good point. Like, what is authentic faith?
Yes.
And This podcast, you know, we call it Love and Lead, and we always begin with the premise that God is ultimately our Heavenly Father, parenting us as parents.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And how is He loving and leading us into our authentic faith is probably where it really begins.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm leading a small group right now, and it's called Nothing Works, How to Navigate Loving Your Children. And
okay, and you got to explain that name.
So I, as I was having young kids, I devoured every, you know, parenting book on the planet. I mean, it just every, because to me, as a former English teacher, the answer to everything is in some book somewhere. And so there has to be, but what I found was all those well-meaning books reduced parenting to a very nice, neat equation. And that's just not reality. It may work for some people in certain situations if you have very compliant, complacent children, it just, but it's just not, I don't think it's what Christ has for every family. And so, you know, just after you try this way, you try that way, and it's like, oh, but my kid is still, you know, drinking, or my kid is still mouthing off, or, you know, whatever the thing, my kid is not following Christ, but I did the things. And then you have to deal with the shame and the guilt, and then Satan has won, because none of that is Christ. So it's how do we navigate loving our children? I just love how you reminded everyone that Christ is parenting us. And so in turn, how are we parenting our kids? I keep asking the question in this group. I find a different way every week, but the question always is, who are you bringing to the parenting table? Who is the person you're bringing?
Okay.
And we ask, okay, all right, are we being, and one of the things we talk about is trustworthy. Are we trustworthy? And, you know, you talked about how Christianity is really countercultural. Us being trustworthy, us being like, we mean what we say, which is not just like, I'm going to punish you if you do this thing wrong, but just being people that tell the truth, that are truth, because in truth, there is safety. In truth, there is love. It just is.
Right.
So that to me is countercultural, because what about this? What about the world in which our kids are living? Where is their truth?
Right.
you know, they live and die by social media. Where is their truth in that? And that truth, and air quotes on that truth, it changes every second.
Yeah.
And we are that opportunity to be that firm foundation.
So I'm processing it here as we're talking and thinking, who do I bring to the table? How do I come? And do I come trustworthy? And being trustworthy is built on having that is greater than control.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Which is sometimes hard as a parent, because I think sometimes, if I'm honest, I just want to control at times.
Oh, absolutely. Well, okay. So Bill Cosby, terrible human, funny comedian, he once said in one of his parenting things was parents don't want their kids to obey them. They just want them to be quiet. And lots of times, yeah, that's that control. If you just do what I say, and that is not how the Father parents us.
Right.
I mean, it's really not. We have that freedom. And so when they are, but we still need to provide those guardrails, because there is a big difference to me between guardrails and control.
Okay.
But I do
well,
think
let's
that we,
talk about that. Yeah.
Okay.
How do we provide those guardrails?
Well, if we are, well, it's just imagine, you know, you're just driving in the mountains, right? You know, and you've got the guardrail right there. You know where the end is. And so what is that going to look like in your family? You know, if you're into the Enneagram at all, it's, I find it helpful to know, for the parent to know what number they are, and for them to be familiar with what number their child is, because what you think you're communicating, whereas I'm a two, I think I'm helping. My four child thinks I'm controlling and saying that she doesn't have the wherewithal to follow through. So, so that guardrail, just so that guardrail has to be okay. So instead of saying, okay, here are the things, it's more like, it's more, a lot more questions are involved. A lot more, okay, would this be helpful? Or how can I help? So those are just kind of the little bits that put together the guardrail. Like, know your child.
Right.
And then know yourself. That to me is, if we are nothing if we are not self-aware.
So, Well, and we, Mary Margaret, earlier in the podcast, we've really spent time talking about, like, what are your family values? And actually sitting down and talking about those things that are important, because I think our guardrails as well. So
absolutely.
Like, even as you're describing, like, we're a family that, like, we always tell the truth. And we create a trust. We want to trust each other. Important in our family. So if that means we talk about hard things, or we come and share things that maybe we know we shouldn't have done, but we still did it.
Right.
We want you to know you can always come, because we value truth in our family.
Right.
Isn't that, you know, some of those ways we are putting guardrails in. Yet not control, recognizing, you know, that you're going to need those to kind of hold it, but you're not, like, controlling the situation.
Exactly. And I think that those guardrails actually can, they need to be flexible, depending on the age of your child, depending on the strengths and weaknesses of your child. And if you have more than one child, the guardrails don't need to be in the same place.
Right.
This is, it make, there are just so many layers that are, can be complicated and complex in raising kids. Like, you know, what is, if you think about something like education, you know, do you put, do you homeschool all your kids? Do you put all your kids in private school or in public school? Well, do you have the wherewithal to stop and think what is best for child one, child two, child three?
Yes. And we just talked about that on the podcast, Mary Margaret.
Excellent. Excellent. So, but I do think that's, you know, those guardrails have got to be flexible as the child grows, because if we make them too narrow, the child, if you use like the car analogy, you know, they're going to scrape the side, because it's just, there's no space. There's just no space for freedom or exploration, for figuring things out. If you make them too wide, they're going to just go all just crazy, just searching for where's the limit. And so to me, that's one of the toughest things about parenting is, where are these supposed to be at this given point?
Yeah.
And I don't see how people that, well, to me, that's just where we really press into the Holy Spirit. And that's where a book can't tell me how to navigate that with my 17-year-old or my 18-year-old or my 24-year-old. It just can't, because they don't know us. They don't know. They just don't know.
So, and you said, like, in general, then the guardrails are a little bit more narrow when you're dealing with young children.
I would think so. Yeah.
What does faith, like, cultivating a life of faith for, like, your 0 to 10-year-old, you know, kind of that preschool years and then those early elementary years, how do we cultivate the faith life in them?
Just like the first day, actually, when a lot of us, when we were pregnant, We would like put headphones on our stomach so the baby would hear that music. You know, they wouldn't come, oh, they'd hear it. And so, you know, as soon as they are put in our arms, we're teaching them how to talk. You know, we're teaching them all of these, you know, how to imagine, how to have conversation, how to eat, how to do all these things that they have no capacity for at all.
Right.
Yet we do it because we are sort of tilling the soil. I think the same thing applies with our faith. From the moment they are in our arms, we are speaking the name of Jesus, whether it's, you know, reading the Jesus Storybook Bible, but we tell the stories of our faith and we set up situations where they can experience their faith. There was a Barna study that came out a few years ago that was, you know, just addressing this idea of why so many kids raised in the church leave the faith when they turn 18. And the overwhelming overlapping answer was they did not have an experiential or authentic experience with God. So that informs a lot of my job. It informs a lot of how I, as a parent, you know, deal with that. But at that 0 to 10, they can experience the Holy Spirit. I mean, one of our kind of, well, not small, but it's a, I want every child that walks out of our kids' ministry space to know God knows their name, God hears them, and just as importantly, God speaks to them. And so that's just something we put in time again. If there's anything we can do to help parents, just like, okay, now, and also parents, that calls on a vulnerability for parents, because do they believe they hear God?
Right.
And that goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning. What are we as parents bringing to the table? We're bringing our strengths, our weaknesses, our doubts,
right,
our successes.
Yeah.
And our beliefs, our discipline, all of that.
Don't you think too? I agree. I think sometimes our honesty, well, all the time, our honesty as a parent.
Oh, yes.
Is, you know, we talk about, we want to create truth and bringing things to light. Are we doing that as a parent? And obviously, I'm not meaning in ways that are not appropriate for your kids
for sure.
to know
right.
things.
Right.
But I mean, in general, it's appropriate to say, you know, sometimes I don't even know if I've, you know, how well I've heard God's voice, or
absolutely,
like if it's an area that you've struggled in, being honest about your own faith is better than like not talking about it or pretending it's something that it's not.
Oh, absolutely. There was a conversation that my kid that's 18 now, when she was, I don't know, 15, 16, it was this idea of, she thought there was a particular area that she was struggling in. And because my husband and I had not really disclosed when we had struggled in this area, she just made the assumption that we just never messed up. And that came out in a very angry, well, you don't know what it's like. Like, no, wait. And we had just, it's not that we had tried to cover that up. It was just like, oh, do we share this? Do we not share this? But again, it totally goes back to being honest. And to me, that is a huge building block of trustworthiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when they do mess up, are we that safe space?
Right.
Are we that, you know, can, are our arms open then, or only when they jump through the hoops that we have set up?
In some ways, what I hear too is that our children able to have faith in us is going to cultivate them being able to have faith in God that they can't see.
That is the key. I mean, that really is. That is what I feel like the Lord has shown me time and time again. It's just that, okay, it's just like that scripture, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, are we being, you know, when we talk about love, talk about loving our kids the way that we, let me back up. Lots of times in church, we like tell the grown-ups that, you know, okay, love people. But we typically, it's like out, it's not in, like in the home. Like, right. I mean, when's the last time that you heard, you know, someone encourage you to, you know, to turn the other cheek when you're dealing with your obstinate teenager?
Mm-hmm. Not
you
right.
Don't say that.
Never. Right.
And, you know, recently there was a situation in my own home where I really felt like I had to, when I knew my child had been involved in some compromising situations, a parent had called me and just let me know what had happened. When my child came home, I said, I need you to tell me exactly what was in your room and what you participated in. And if you tell me the truth, there'll be no punishment. But if you don't tell me the truth, then that's a different story. Well, the look on her face, everything just changed. I mean, it was a seminal moment in our relationship. And because I mean, who doesn't say you better tell, you know,
right?
Of course, punishment. But no, it was blanket immunity. And because my end game was to change a behavior, to have openness, to prove that I am trustworthy, that this is a safe place, and that she is loved no matter what she does. Mm-hmm. And what happened was she just poured out every single thing that I knew. And it really has changed the relationship. And as a result, she was able to talk about why those things happened and how she doesn't want to be a part of that particular group. And so that was something we were able, she had choice. I mean, I'd already decided they were not coming to my home again, but right. She had choice. She was able to say, they are destructive. This behavior mm-hmm. is destructive. I turn away from it. And so isn't that repentance? And that mm-hmm. scripture where it's like, yes, it's God's kindness that leads to repentance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was new for me as a parent.
Well, right. And so let's talk a little bit about that. That's still, you gave her guardrails.
Yeah.
You still brought it up. Mm-hmm. Right. And you were yep. still going to be there. Whichever way she would have chosen.
Sure.
You were going to engage in this with her. But what does... How did, obviously, that's a big change from when she was younger. What do you think happens in those teenage years? How do we love and lead our kids when they are going to bump into things or things or fall here and there?
Right.
How do we come to the table in those years?
I think the biggest gift that we can give them is, again, I'm going back to this trustworthy thing, gonna beat mm-hmm. that dead horse. But are we giving them space to own the faith? And what are we doing when it doesn't look like they're gonna choose our team?
Mm.
Are we, I mean, because when we tell Jesus mm-hmm. he doesn't exist or we're not gonna follow, mm-hmm. does God just shut us off? Absolutely not. I mean, the hounds of heaven are chasing every human 24/7.
Yeah.
So how does that relate to our parenting?
Yeah.
I mean, are we, because if we don't give them the space to figure it out, their faith is going to be just like the Barna study. Right. It's just going to fall. It's just, and like, you know, the parable of the seed. Mm-hmm. I mean, the wind's just going to blow it right out because we didn't allow the time or the space for those right. roots to take hold.
Right. Which, so putting that in context, when they're younger, mm-hmm. in general, that's when we and want to make sure they're having the opportunity to have experiences.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because that will help hold in the teenage years. And I think, I wonder sometimes, you're like, oh my gosh, like, we know teenage years are coming, but then it's like they come right. like a storm and you're like, oh my gosh, I wasn't ready for this.
Oh, like, no, it's no, exactly.
And just knowing, even in those years, I think we're going for authentic experiences,
yes.
whether it's the honesty with the doubts or the being unsure, trusted space that they And I agree with you, understanding that the Spirit of God's always at work. I think that's the other thing we have to carry, Mary Margaret.
Yes.
Like, it is not 100% mm-hmm. dependent on us.
Oh my God. No, it's not.
Right? Because, this is God's work
yeah.
in their hearts. right? It is. And wives.
It is. We set the table. I mean, going back to the 0 to 10, you know, at that point, just in child development, they are very concrete thinkers. Black, white, good, right. bad. And so that mm-hmm. is the time that we really do get to set that kind mm-hmm. of thing. But then, mm-hmm. you know, again, you're getting that soil prepared, you're getting it ready. Then when they are, no, I don't think this is true. I think this, I think that. Okay, fine. I love mm-hmm. you anyway. Explain that, unpack that for me. What makes you think mm-hmm. that? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then just all of the fruit of the Spirit has a chance to form in us. Because I've always thought that everyone is in our lives to make us more like Jesus. And that includes our children.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, you know, parenting is formational. It is spiritually formational.
It is.
And sometimes that is so wonderful and sometimes that is so mm-hmm. hard.
mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as we're talking, for me anyway, and I think for a lot of people, fear is what gets in the way.
Absolutely. It's a huge motivator.
Afraid, right?
We do.
Like you want to protect your kids. You have that like instinctive, like, oh my gosh, what if?
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And, yes. Well, yeah. And as parents, that's where we live.
It does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can shut mm-hmm. us down. And then we say and do things, threaten, control, because we're afraid. And really that is what we take to Jesus ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
So we aren't parenting from that fear place, but we're parenting from that trustworthy space that God's even trustworthy with our child.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, and fear, it to me is the opposite of fear is not necessarily courage, but the opposite of fear is love. You know, perfect love casts out fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, it asks me, it's like, okay, it causes me to ask myself, how much do I trust Jesus?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was just thinking. Like, do I really trust him mm-hmm. that he loves my child even more than I do? You know, do
exactly.
I really live that way? And it does, it comes back to ourselves again and like leaning into that, our own growth too.
Yeah. I completely agree.
Well, we just have a minute or so left. If you were going to give closing words to parents today to come alongside and encourage them, what would you want to say, Mary Margaret?
Plug your ears to the voice of shame and failure and embrace who you are in Christ. You are a friend of Christ. You are chosen. You are loved. And in turn, shower that on your children. Love them. Let them know that what is the truth that you can impart to them, because their emotions will be big, their actions will be big, but what is the truth? The truth is that you love them, you are not leaving them, that Christ loves them and he is not leaving them.
So good. So good. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It was my deepest pleasure. Thank you, Becky.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.